I'd like to ask everyone to please take out a pen or a pencil. If you don't have, you can borrow from somebody else. And I want everyone to write down this piece of paper. It's private. I want you to write down three excuses that you have made this year. Three excuses. Could be you're tired. Could be you didn't like learning. Could be any excuse that you've made this year.
I'll do it myself. Any excuse you've made this year
to not show up for morning seder, not to join a tiyul, maybe weren't too nice to a roommate, any excuse. Why don't you write down three excuses that you made throughout this year? If you don't have a pen, you'll wait for your friend to have one. But as I'm speaking, please make sure that by the end, you have written down three excuses.
Wait, what are you writing down? You never made an excuse in your life.
Very proud. Okay, you can pass this one. Okay, here we go. Okay? I'll ask you to think of the same thing, but I am going to think back to the last time I played basketball. Okay, the last time I played basketball was a couple of weeks ago. We played both the morning shiur and the afternoon shiur. And I'm going to remember back, you can play the game with me, try to remember back the last time you played basketball and you missed the shot on the court. Say you're trying to go for a layup, you're trying to take a jump shot, trying to take a three, and you missed the shot. So I'll tell you personally what was going through my head when I blew a layup, or I missed the shot, missed the foul. What was going through my head a couple weeks ago? I'll tell you what was going through my head. I'm rusty, the sun is in my eyes. I got back into the groove, I haven't played in a long time. I was making any excuse that I could to myself. Now, I'm sure all of you also, assuming everyone here has missed a shot in their lives, and you probably also have made an excuse or two on the basketball court. What we're going to discuss today, as an intro to this Zman, in my humble opinion, is the most important thing that we can work on over the next 6 weeks, moving into the next stage of our lives. It happens to be that unfortunately we live in a generation in which nobody wants to take responsibility for themselves. Anytime you hear some big case on TV of some big murderer kills people, somebody stole a lot of things, a lawyer is going to get up and he's going to try to exonerate the murderer. You know what? When he grew up, his parents abused him. This guy was on drugs. It's not his fault. He doesn't have to take the blame. It's not his fault. Anytime, sure, those of you who like to follow sports, anytime an athlete actually admits to a mistake, anytime an athlete says, you know what, I was wrong, what do we think in our heads?
Oh.
It's like a chiddush. Like, wow, you actually admitted to a mistake? Because nobody likes to admit to a mistake. Nobody likes to say they did something wrong. Everyone makes an excuse as to why they made certain mistakes, but nobody likes to take the blame. If we want to have sustained growth moving forward throughout this Zman, and eventually to the summer and through next year, we need to work on this. We need to start taking responsibility for ourselves and to stop with the excuses. I'm tired, I was up late last night, enough of the excuses. We need to start taking responsibility for ourselves if we want to have sustained growth. The truth is, I'll even start off with an excuse. And that excuse is not really our fault that we like to make excuses. You know why? Because already from the beginning of the Torah, what do we see in the first couple of stories in the Torah? Excuses. Adam blames Chava. Chava blames the Nachash. You have the story of Cain and Hevel, where one kills each other, and Hashem says, where's your brother? He says, am I my brother's keeper? Do I have to watch out for my brother? It's not my responsibility. So truthfully, built into our DNA from the Torah itself, is this idea really to not take responsibility? But obviously the Torah wants us not to be like that. And the Torah wants us to learn to take responsibility, to stop with the excuses. The greatest story that I know of, it's both a very sad story, but in the end, a very inspirational story, that deals with this idea of making excuses, but in the end, taking responsibility, is the amazing story of Rabbi Elazar ben Durdaya. Rabbi Elazar ben Durdaya, one of the Amoraim, he's in the Gemara, so a pretty holy person, but unfortunately got caught up in some not really great things. Let's just say he was visiting women throughout the world and being intimate with many women in the world. Not great, unfortunately, caught up in this very, very dangerous sin. And then one day, he hears about the most beautiful woman in the entire world. She lives very, very far from where he lives, but you know what? If she's the most beautiful, I gotta go get her. So he travels very, very far to visit and to spend time with this woman. And they're about to sin with each other. Something happens, and the woman turns to Elazar, the guy, and says, "Well, yeah." She calls him Elazar. Not even Rebbe. You're not a rabbi anymore. Elazar, your teshuvah will never ever be accepted. No more. You've done too many sins. You're way too far off. You're too far off the derech. Even if you try to do teshuvah, there's no way that God would ever accept any of your teshuvah. And that hit him to his core. And at that moment, he doesn't sin with her. He runs out of there, and he runs out into the wilderness. He runs out into the fields. And what Elazar ben Dudai, or let's call him Elazar at that point, what he does at that moment is, he turns to the mountains around and says, "Mountains, please, I beg you, have mercy on me. Daven to God, daven to Hashem, that Hashem should have mercy on me." And all the mountains turn to him and say, "Elazar ben Dudaya, before we daven for you, we gotta daven for ourselves. Sorry, you've come to the wrong address. We can't help you." So then he turns to the Shemayim and Aretz, the heavens and earth. He says, "Please, can you beg God to have mercy on me? I've done such bad things. But you know what? I want to do tshuva. I want to come back to him. Can you please beg him to accept my tshuva?" They say, "Listen, us also. We have to daven for ourselves. We have no time to daven for you." And then he turns to the constellation. Sorry, he turns to the sun and the moon. "Sun and the moon, please, can you daven for me?" The same thing. "Can't daven for you. We have to daven for ourselves first." And then he turns to the stars and the constellations and says, "Please, nobody can help this poor man named Elazar ben Dudaya." And finally, he puts his head between his legs and cries out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He wants to do tshuva, and at that moment, he dies. His neshama goes up to Shemaim, and as the Gemara concludes, now they call him Rebbe Elazar ben Dudaya. You have been accepted to Olam Haba. And his tshuva was accepted. Now, as we've said many times in our shiurim, the Gemara is not random. The Gemara didn't choose the mountains and the stars and the sky for no reason. Why did the Gemara choose these things for Elazar ben Dudaya to turn to help him? So let's understand. When Elazar ben Dudaya turned to the harim, to the mountains, to beg for his mercy, you know what he was really saying? You know what word sounds like harim? Horim. Parents. You know what he was saying, really? He was saying, "You know why I'm so bad? You know why I've been involved in such sins? It's not my fault. You know whose fault it is? It's my parents' fault. It's my family. It's my upbringing. It's not my fault that I'm so steeped in such sin." So he turns to his parents, in some sense. "It's all your fault. It's not my fault. I'm not taking responsibility." And what do his parents turn back to him and say? No. "We have our own lives to live. You have to take responsibility for yourself. Sorry, don't look to us." And then he turns to the Shemayim and the Aretz. The Shemayim and Aretz. And that refers to his surroundings. Everything around him. Maybe you have friends. Maybe you have school. Maybe you have Rebbeim. And he turns to everything around and says, "It's not my fault. It's all your fault." And what do? They tell him the same exact thing. Same exact thing. We have to work on ourselves. We can't work on you. We first have to beg for our own rachamim. And then he turns to the sun and the moon. And Rashi points out that the sun and the moon refer to affluence. They represent wealth. And he says, "You know why I'm such a bad guy? Because I grew up in such a rich society. You know what happens? You have a lot of money, you do a lot of bad things. If I was poor, if I didn't have so much money, that's one thing. But the fact that I grew up with so much wealth, that's why I'm such a bad guy." And they also say, "Nope, not us." And finally, how do we say constellations in Hebrew? Mazalos. Do you know what he blames? His mazel. It's just bad mazel. Some people end up sinning. Some people have bad lives. It's not my fault. And obviously his mazel turns in and says, "Listen, you got to work on yourself." And at that moment, Elazar ben Dudaya says five most important words that I can share with you. Those words are, "Ein hadavar taloi ela bi." The matter is only dependent on me. At that moment, what he realized is, I have to stop blaming other people. I have to stop making excuses. I need to take responsibility unto myself. And at that moment, he had a very sincere tshuva, a very sincere tshuva. And at that moment, Hashem says, you have been accepted back into Olam Haba. The story starts very sad. It's a sad story, but it ends so inspiring. You have an individual who realizes at the end of the day, we cannot continue to live life blaming our surroundings, blaming our upbringing. Of course, these things have an effect on us. And yes, we have to deal with that. But a person at the end of the day needs to take responsibility for himself. After 120, we're going to go up to Shamayim, and Hashem's going to ask us a couple of questions. One question you might ask us is, hey, why didn't you learn so much? Why you learn so much? I see here, we could watch your video. He didn't spend so much time learning. Why not? So you know what? You might respond to him. Listen, Hashem, maybe you don't know, but I was really, really rich. I was really, really rich. And you know how much time I had to spend checking the stocks and doing this and traveling? I had no time. Or you might say to him, you know what, God? I was extremely poor. The opposite. I was begging all day. I had no time to sit and learn. Begging all day. You know, also you might say to him, listen, God, I had the greatest Yetzirah that anyone ever had. And I was always running after my taivas, running after my desires. And the Gemara tells us that Hashem's going to turn to you and say, sorry, no excuses here in Shammai. Because the poorest person that we know of, Hillel, he had no money, he had to sleep on the roof just to hear some words of Torah. And he was able to learn. The richest Rebbe, the Gemara tells us, is Reb Lazar. He owned islands, he owns, and yet he was able to learn. And who do we know in the Torah itself with the greatest Yetzirah? We're struggling with his Yetzirah, Yosef HaTzadik. And Yosef HaTzadik accomplished, Yosef HaTzadik was able to overcome his Yetzirah. Excuses do not work in Shamayim. And honestly, they shouldn't work here either. They shouldn't work here either. The first time that Hashem encounters Moshe Rabbeinu, or I should say the opposite, Moshe encounters Hashem, Hashem tells Moshe, you should just know you're sitting on holy ground. You're standing on Admas Kodesh. What does Hashem tell Moshe to do before they have their conversation? What does he tell him to do? Take off your shoes. Why? Why in the world is he to take off his shoes? Just have a conversation. Why is he to take off his shoes? So the Chafetz Chaim says a beautiful idea. What he suggests is that we, throughout our lives, anywhere we are standing could be called Admas Kodesh. Whether you're literally sitting here in the real Admas Kodesh, or you're back in some college in America, any place that a Jew stands has the ability to be an Admas Kodesh. Unfortunately, many of us do not take advantage of that. Why? Because we have Na'alayim on. We have our shoes on. As long as we're able to take off our shoes, then we can access Admas Kodesh. What are the Na'alayim? What is Hashem telling you? What shalom na'alecha, take off your shoes, says the Chafetz Chaim? Anything that separates, anything that's a chatzitza, anything that breaks, has a separation between us and the Admas Kodesh and Hashem. What is that? That is excuses. Excuses. We have an opportunity to daven well in America. We have an opportunity even here in the Old City to connect to Kodesh Baruch Hu. But you know what prevents us? You know what prevents us from connecting directly to the Admas Kodesh? Is our excuses. Our excuses. Those are not lying. It's all the things we say, I'm so tired, I've been away for... No. Enough of the excuses. Says Hashem to Moshe, we're about to start a very intimate relationship, me and you, Moshe. You're going to be the leader of the Jewish people. The most important thing that I can teach you right now, as a leader, for yourself, and to teach other people, is Shalom Na'alecha Me'alecha. Make sure you take all those excuses, you throw them in the garbage, and now you can access Admas Kodesh. But this is one of the first lessons that Hashem tells Moshe. They tell a story. You all know of Rabbi Saul Salanter. Rabbi Saul Salanter began the Musar movement. He began the Musar movement a couple hundred years ago. And he had a very important student named Rav Naftali of Amsterdam. And they tell a story that one day Rav Naftali comes to his Rabbi Saul Salanter and says, Rabbi, listen, if only I had your midos, I could be successful. If only I had the mind of the Shagas Arya. He was one of the great rabbis in that generation. But in his mind, then I could be great. If only I had the heart of a sefer called the Sefer Yisov Vishor Shavod. If I had his heart, then I could be a great tzaddik. But I don't have your mind. I don't have your midos. I don't have his mind. I don't have his heart. I can't do it. And the Rebbe turns to Tom and says, no. With your heart and with your mind and with your midos, you can accomplish. Enough of the excuses. If only I was brought up in some rabbinic family. Look at me. I grew up in, you know, in Idaho, and my family wasn't religious. No. If Hashem gave you an opportunity to connect to Torah, especially you guys sitting here in yeshiva, it means Hashem believes you have the opportunity and the ability to connect Him in a serious and deep way. But enough of the excuses. I spent, and continue to spend, many summers on NCSY Cola, and I ref many, many basketball games. On NCSY Cola, I retired from that job. Back in the day, I used to ref a lot of games. And oftentimes, you'd have a guy who, he's usually the star player on the team. Usually, star players usually have the worst knee, unfortunately. It's usually, so if he's a star player on the team, he misses this shot, he misses that shot, and yeah, they get really upset during the game. Oh, come on, ref, include the call. Many of them, not all, many of them would come over to me after the game and say, listen, ref, yeah, so sorry. No, here the moment, I lost it a little bit. So in my early days as a ref, I believed them, I trusted them. Yeah, you know, they are sorry. They really wish they couldn't have, you know, they didn't scream at me when they blew that layup. But okay, you're right, here the moment. And eventually I realized they're all lying to me. It's not true. They're not really sorry. You know what I used to say to them? They come to you after the game and say, hey, great game. You know, I go, I'm really sorry. I would say, no, you're not. I'd say, you're not sorry. I said, you're lying to me. I said, because if you were really sorry, you'd work on your midos. Don't blame it on 2 minutes late in the game, you know, 2 minutes left in the game, and that's why he was, no. You know why you screamed at me at that point? Because you have terrible midos. I don't know if I would say that. But you have terrible midos. Right? But that, they were lying to themselves. They were making an excuse. Yes, we all lose it from time to time. But if it's the same person, game after game, losing it, it's because you haven't sat down for 1 second to work on our midos. I think that one of the biggest areas in which we have this is Torah learning. Here we're coming to the end of the year. I'm trying to look back to this year and all the accomplishments that we've all had in Torah learning. You might say to yourself, what did I accomplish? Gemara and Halakha, what did I accomplish? You know what? Hashem didn't really give me a mind for Torah. It's not me. It's my chavrusa. It's a friend. Not me. I don't have the mind for Torah. There could be anything farther from the truth. And I'll share with you another story. They tell a story of none other than Eliyahu HaNavi. So Eliyahu HaNavi is walking down the street one day, and he sees a fisherman. He's near the ocean. He sees a fisherman, and the fisherman, it's Eliyahu HaNavi, comes to Eliyahu. He says to him, listen, I just want to tell you, between me and you, when I go to Shamayim, I have a very good excuse as to why I don't ever learn Torah. You know what my excuse is? Because Hashem didn't give me the mind to learn Torah. Very simple, simple excuse. I'll go up to Shemayim. Hashem's going to say, why didn't you learn? Very simple excuse. Because I don't have the mind for learning. So Eliyahu turns to him and says, okay, can you explain to me a little bit about what you do? He says, I'm a fisherman. He says, what do you do as a fisherman? So he explained to him, I have to tie these very intricate knots. And I have to be up early in the morning and late at night. I have this whole system of how I catch fish. And Eliyahu's like, wow, like you have a real mind for this. He's like, yeah, God gave me a mind for fish. So Eliyahu turns to this guy and says, if the Torah testifies, ki karov elecha hadavar me'or, that this matter is very close to you, what matter are we talking about? It's a question. Let's assume Torah. If the Torah is telling me the Torah is close to you, you really think that God wouldn't give you a mind for Torah? It doesn't mean that we're all going to become Rashi Yeshiva, but it does mean that each and every one of us, in our own way, can become a Talmid Chacham. To whatever extent we were given that ability. But don't ever make the excuse, I don't have the mind for it. No. The Torah tells us, ki karov elecha davar, the puzzle could have ended there. Me'od. The Torah is emphasizing and highlighting. It's very, very close. Now, yes, we have to put in the work to access that and to connect to Torah. We can't just sit back and relax and assume that the Torah knowledge will just come into us. But ki karov elecha davar me'od. So when we are trying to think about the past year, as we head towards the end very, very soon, you might get down on yourself and think, I don't even remember what Masechta we're learning. I don't believe everyone remembers the Masechta. But I can't really recall what was on Daf Beis and what I learned Halacha in afternoon shiur. Just recognize. The fact that we're in yeshiva means Hashem believes that we can achieve it. Ki karov elecha davar me'od. Maybe we have to learn a little bit better. Maybe in a different way. Maybe it's going to take more time. But to never convince ourselves that, oh, learning is not for me. I'm not able to do it. And really just to wrap up, one or two more points. I would say that the Mishnah that really highlights this idea is the Mishnah that says the following. Mishnah Pirkei Avos, which we're learning nowadays. Hu Haya Omer, chapter 1, Mishnah 14. Im Ein Ani Li Mi Li. Before I explain this Mishnah based on Ben Yonah, I want to say something that a lot of our band right here. So if you don't agree with what I'm about to say, you can disagree with me. But I think it is a great, I mean, seriously, I think it's a great disservice. It's a great disservice to you guys. So I'll say for myself, if we train you to believe that you need us, that you need us, we're here to guide you. We're here to help you now and for the rest of your lives, but you don't need us. You know what you need? You need yourself. That's really who you need. Because if you continue to live your life relying on your BAME, I mean, many of you struggle with waking up now, but who's going to wake up in 6 weeks? Okay, who's going to be there? We're not always there with you. Yes, you need to have a BAME. We're going to guide you. But what you need is yourself. And that's what Rabbeinu Yonah says is, "Im ein ani li mi li." He says it's very nice to go to a Musar Shmooz. It's very nice to have a BAME. It's very nice to hear that. But im ein ani li, if I'm not for myself, meaning if I can't inspire myself, me, Lee, who is going to be for me? At the end of the day, Rebbeim are nice, parents are nice, friends are nice, but at the end of the day, we need to take responsibility for ourselves. So yes, we want to help you, and we hope to have relationships with you forever. But at the end of the day, do not rely on us in that sense. You need to rely on yourselves. So enough of the excuses. This is a zman over the next, you know, five, six weeks where I think this needs to be on our minds. On our minds. Throughout the year, hey, beginning of the year, you know what yeshiva was, you're trying to get used to the old city, you're getting used to the rebbeim, to your friends, to the trips, to what's ever going on, okay? I cannot think of any good excuse at this point for why nobody, or I should say why everybody in this room should be going to every single minyan on time and being every single seder. I'm not talking about learning late, I'm not talking about learning extra. There's absolutely zero reason why nobody in this room shouldn't be doing all those things. Those are simple. That's part of our daily schedule. You come to Shacharis on time, you come to Mincha, you come to Marav. You study here for all three Siddur. You want to learn extra, great. But I cannot think of, if you want to tell me an excuse, tell me right now, but I cannot think of a good excuse at this point in the year for not every single person in this room, and the people who are not here, they could listen to the recording, people who are not here, that everybody should be at every single Seder and every single Tua. There's no excuse. And every opportunity that we have for a Miller today and next week to go on Tulim, where else are you going? We're here in Eretz Yisrael for the next 6 weeks. Take advantage of the opportunities that we have. There are no excuses that are going to work. How do we do it? It's really just a mind game. That's the truth. It's a little bit harder than it's a mind game. It's a change of mindset. No more excuses. It's enough. Enough of the excuses. Stop blaming your BAME and your friends and your roommates and your parents. Enough. For the next 6 weeks, not one excuse should come out of our mouths. Nothing. Nothing. I wake up on time. I go to sleep on time. I learn every single seder. No more excuses. I'll end with one story. Napoleon, who's the great French general. So he was once walking on a boardwalk with his grandson. So his grandson looks up to his grandfather. This is the great Napoleon. Wow, what an opportunity walking on the boardwalk with my grandson. And suddenly, the grandson is walking too close to the water and he gets pulled into the ocean. And he starts drowning. Now, Napoleon at that time was a little bit older and he realized that his grandson was too far out for him to save him. And the kid's screaming, "Help me, help me, help me." And the grandfather realizes, "I can't really help him." Now, the grandson, from his perspective, is like, "Why are you helping me? Help me, please, help me, come help me." So, what he does, he takes his gun that he had on him. He shoots it in the air, and he falls down, Napoleon, as if to say he just got shot. So his grandson's in the ocean. He's flailing his arms. "Help me, help me, help me." He sees his grandfather on the floor. His grandfather just got shot. This is Napoleon, the great general. Somehow, he musters the strength. He gets out of the water to go save his grandfather. And the grandson got saved. So the grandson turns to his grandfather. "Like, what's going on here? What?" So the grandfather says, "Because when you were drowning in that ocean, you saw your great-grandfather there, and you relied on me. You thought I was going to save you. And when you rely on other people, sometimes it works, but sometimes it doesn't work. I couldn't help you in that situation." It was at the moment that you realized that there was no one here to help you. Your grandfather's dead. He just got shot. There's no one here to help you. It was at that moment where you mustered the strength to go and do it. So this is the perspective that we need to have. Yes, we're here to help you. Yes, the yeshiva is here to support you. But at this time, my friends, we need to take responsibility for ourselves. So did everyone write something on the piece of paper? Everyone write something? I hope everyone wrote something. I wrote something. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. A quick 3-second exercise. Okay? I want everyone to take that piece of paper, and I want you to rip it to shreds. That's all you're going to do. I want you to rip it to shreds. Okay? make sure you put this in the garbage. But there are no more excuses. No matter what excuse you had this year, goes into the garbage. When you walk out of this room, there are no more excuses. Let's start taking responsibility for ourselves. You can start right now with the Rosh Hashiva Shmooz in a couple of minutes. Start taking responsibility for ourselves. I can guarantee you that if you want one tip to have sustained growth moving forward, it's this idea. Stop relying on other people. Stop blaming other people for your mistakes. Start taking responsibility for yourselves and enough excuses. Thanks, Shkora. Have a great job.